Welcome to the Grenhill Chronicles podcast. My name is Don Bishop, and I write as T.S. Pedramon. Today, I'm releasing this episode on December 26th, so I hope your Christmas was fun and relaxing. Today's episode, which was recorded in June of this year, explores live-action roleplay, or LARPing. And this is kind of an interesting thing, you know, it's somewhat fantasy adjacent. Sometimes it is absolutely fantasy adjacent or engages in fantasy. But it's interesting because it's kind of acting out a story, right? Not so much kind of. It is acting out a story. Now, I actually found a local LARPing group and I went and I met them at a little Comic Con at a local library. But I went, brought my daughter, and I interviewed them. And my daughter took part in the activity. At the time, I was trying to crank out my book, Nightshade Unicorn Book 2. And so I didn't participate in the role play, in the games. But I went and I sat and worked on my book instead. But I did watch and I grabbed some video that I'll share with you. And my daughter certainly enjoyed herself, and you'll see that. I mentioned I find LARPing interesting. There's a great deal of creativity going on here. Each person comes up with their own individual character. Like they create this character. They'll invent a backstory, and they'll come up with a costume for it. They craft some of these weapons out of they do crafty things. It's pretty cool. Now they also there's actual story writing, because they build backstories for the scenario that they're in. Like this is what's been going on politically in this imaginary kingdom, and now we're going to have to go and fight these trolls or this other faction, whatever the case may be. So it's interesting. We'll get to hear some of that in today's episode. Now I am releasing this episode months later than originally intended because as I mentioned, I recorded these clips in June of this year in 2024, and it was a bit of an editing challenge, so it took me a while to be able to get around to being organized enough and to put in the hours to put these things together in a way that would be a good presentation for you. Part of that was because part of the challenge was because this was outdoors and it was filmed just on my phone. It was the only recording device I brought with me that day, or that I used. Maybe I had a microphone, but decided it wasn't going to be very good to use. No external microphone. It was just recorded on my phone. It was windy outside, and that created a challenge with the audio. And I used Descript to clean up the interview. They have a studio sound feature, and it's pretty nifty. And I think it helped a lot for the interview. I only used that feature on the interview part of the podcast. Again, you'll get to see some of the scenario setup, and you'll see some of the fighting action. And I didn't use Descript for those. I used Audacity just to kind of level out the volume throughout. But I wanted to maintain that outdoors feeling, including for the interview. So when I applied studio sound for the interview, I put it at 88%, so you could hear kind of the in the background. So what is it you're going to see today? Oh, hold up. So, clean up the audio. Also, like with the action clips, like here's this snippet of the fight, and here's the explanation of the scenario. And I had to figure out how to present those. And honestly, it wasn't that complex, but as it was, I went months without really releasing podcast episodes, except a few exceptions. And when I did, they were easier edits, you know. I wasn't up to this challenge. I didn't have the time. So in today's episode, you'll see some of those clips. You'll see the rules being explained. You'll see two scenarios being set up. You'll see a few moments of the battles in play. And you'll note that one way to keep this going as if there were lots more people on the battlefield or whatever the case may be, is they had rules for respawning. And you'll see like how they explain the rules. Like if you get hit on the arm, that arm is now dead, but you've still got your other three limbs. And anyway, so once you're dead, you can put your weapon on your head and you walk back to a respawn point and you give it a count of
20
and then you can rejoin. You'll also see lots of youth. So this particular day that I went was specifically a child-friendly engagement. And so like they made sure that the fighting wasn't going to be too rough for smaller people, right? And also, if you are listening to this podcast audio only, I encourage you to watch it on YouTube. I'm also uploading it to Descript these days. But if you watch the video, that's really going to be the only way to properly enjoy the full experience that I have to offer here. And yeah, without further ado, we'll jump into... Wait, one more ado. No, I'll save that for later. We'll jump into the interview.
I'm here with the gang, with the live action role play, and their group is going to... Like, there's Unimist.
So we...
Unimist.
Yeah, we are the Park of Unimist. We play in the LARP that's called Impguard.
Okay.
And we're affiliated with the Kingdom of Crystal Groves, which is 10 or so parks around the area that'll okay. come together.
Yeah, and Impguard is a international game. 90% of the parks you're getting there have got.
Okay. So Impguard is like a standardized...
The overall game that we play.
Okay.
It's broken up into several what are called kingdoms.
Uh-huh.
They're the leadership of several parks within the region. There's one in California, one in Florida. Our kingdom is based in Maryland, and okay. each of these kingdoms have individual parts that are parts of Moon and Mist, the name of our specific individual part.
Okay. Now, since internet land out there, my viewers and listeners aren't really well versed in what LARPing is, so at the base, it's live action role play, right? And so what are we role playing? What is the objective? Like what are the activities?
So our really each park has its own storyline to tell. Sometimes, like mentioned the kingdom before, the kingdoms themselves might try to tell an overarching storyline. Our park itself is a kingdom surrounded by mists called Munin Mist. Munin being the raven of Odin from Norse mythology. And the mists seem to kind of have a way of pulling random adventurers into themselves. It could be people from all kinds of different backgrounds, maybe it's a D&D campaign that people have played before, and their characters get wrapped up and then get deposited into the town of Munin.
Yeah.
And so the mists themselves can change the landscape. All kinds of different adventures might happen. Recently, we've had a rival kingdom get deposited on our doorstep that decided they wanted to force us into gladiator-type sports with each other. Prior to that, we had a necromancer that was terrorizing our kingdom.
Okay.
So,
yeah. The game is based around each individual players come up with a fantasy character, fantasy-based character with a backstory. In theory, it's supposed to be a text that could have existed prior to 1650.
Okay.
But there's magic, though. So. There's fantasy element
we'll get there.
Fantasy element thrown in. You have magic and character classes similar to Dungeons and Dragons, or was that Fallen's Gate Online? And one of the things that's really cool about the way they wrote up the backstory for this part is because of the mist, we can all have characters from there. Mine is based on Bronze Greek culture. We've had players that play Viking-style characters. A lot of groups in Antgard, actually local groups, build around a sea. Like, when I was in Pennsylvania, all the characters there in that park hall were based off the same sea. fit this story yet. Here is the way you can allow anybody to be basically innocent and still participate and not feel out of place.
And within this, because they can change the storyline, they can change the area of it, it really gives more leeway to the case of today. Jax had his adventure that he pulled in. Prior to that, I've been running a number of the adventures, so really it opens up the door to any kinds of stories that the, for lack of a better term, Dungeon Master wants to see brought to life.
So we get to know you. Like, I know you're the monarch of the park.
Yep.
I'm not good with names. I know we have Jax, and these are your game names.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
And yeah, feel the name. I'm not good with names.
My name is, I go by Kex here at the park. That's actually short for Kagarian Lion's Pride. I am, as mentioned, the monarch of the park before.
With the Kagarian.
that's my name. I am a Kagarian. I've had a long-standing nickname of Kex for a while, so I tend to just kind of mix it up and get to different ways of getting to that as being my nickname. So, everybody knows me by Kex here. It's ironic because I'm one of the few people that probably doesn't drink in the park, but at any rate, my character is a person that has been brought from another world, dropped kind of into the land of Muden, and has one of the kind of old timers of the park. So he's been around, seen a lot of things happen, and he's fiercely loyal, likes to make sure that everybody is staying safe, but doesn't like people kind of trampling on his territory.
My game name is Gaius Oldlings. I actually don't have a fantasy background. I come from more of, not quite sci-fi, more of like steampunk-ish sort of future. Uh-huh. And so I'm living a sort of fish out of water world where I was used to all of this technology, and now I'm here, and the most advanced thing around is like a blacksmith, which is what occupation I've taken up because I know how to work with metal because that was my world. Kind of like Kex, I am also fiercely loyal. I am fiercely defending of those that have earned my trust and deserving of my trust, and similarly, anybody that has not earned my trust, I will be rather resistant. But once it's earned, I am their ally forever.
Okay. And I know because my daughter, who's standing next to the camera, participated today, and this was her first time, and my first time watching. But watching her prepare for this, I know that y'all craft your own characters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. But the vast majority of us make our own darn stuff as well.
Cool.
I walk with this, but my nephew plays also, he does names of guard. My park name is Jax Obsidian. I was a highwayman who had a bad spit of luck just around that time, got brought into the mist and intended to try to redeem himself. Not as much of a backstory, but he'll try to do the right thing. His luck just barely pans out and gets him out of screens, but he is not the bravest guy, not the strongest guy, not the quickest guy, but he just gets by.
Okay. And, so I'm 38 now. I've been playing Amp Guard since I was 16. I've gone through lots of characters over those movies. Last few years, as you might see, I'm dressed for work. My job, I don't have a lot of time, but you're playing it. The last few years, current character I'm drawing by Achilles. Not the Achilles, the backstory was named after the famous Achilles.
Okay.
But my fighting style.
Yeah, I remember
seeing your name in the Discord
server.
Sword and shield, just like a Greek hoplite, sword, spear, focus on that. Basically, one day woke up in a foreign land without explanation why he was here. But generally, that's why I focus. I tend to put some. I'll slow with a lot more of the combat aspect again. Then I started, it's more that way, it's going more towards fantasy, which is cooler, because more and more people could participate. Like when I started, someone your daughter's age wouldn't really sit.
he would have gotten step on the field effectively. And I like that. The rule change some dots when more people can participate.
It's more safety minded.
Can you go grab like an arrow or a sword?
The arrow.
Like, for example, the safety rules for the weapon are about the same as they've been for the last 20 years.
Uh-huh.
But the interaction between, for example, like shield bashing a long time ago, smacking somebody with a shield.
Made of foam, basically. It's got a core, but covers falls, so. So, it doesn't really. You can feel it, but it won't leave a bruise.
Yes.
You can use a bow, but the arrows have foam tips. It makes them harder to shoot if the tips are heavier.
And they're pretty big foam tips.
Yeah.
All of our weapons and arrows are designed where they won't go into an eye socket.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's foam. It's designed with safety in mind, so that nobody's gonna get hurt. And there are rules like no headshots. And
in theory, they're supposed to be designed. Well, I could hit him with my full strength and not cause a connecting to break or bruise or bleed.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
But let's just going back to what I said about the safety, because when I started, the daughter had been playing, I would have been allowed to shield burst her back here. I'm a grown man. That wouldn't be.
Yeah.
No, a lot safer.
And then, what was I just thinking? Well, and I'll for the listeners, you'll see a little bit of a safety brief, and like how it's because there were several people here for the first time today, and so I'll share some of that later in the podcast, and you'll see everyone in action later in the podcast, and so what's like. What would you want to tell somebody? What's your individual takeaway? Anybody who wants to share?
I'll jump in here. Just getting into it is something that you can come from anywhere. Your reasons for doing it can come from anywhere. So I think everybody's got a really interesting story. For me specifically, I had always looked down on it for a while, saying like, oh, it's like Dungeons & Dragons, but at least I don't do LARPing. That's for like the super ones. But then my nephew that we have custody of, we went to a Ren fair and he got interested and said, isn't there a thing where you dress up like this and then you hit people with swords? I said, you mean LARPing? I said, yeah, I want to do that. So we found Munin and we tried it out and I fell in love just as the people were amazing. It's really fun. It's a great place it spurs creativity, just both in creation and in creation of physical things and of stories. And that's what's really got me into it. That's what's kept me here.
Yeah, and I really appreciated that point, too. Like, your comments on the creativity. While you were fighting your fight, doing the role play, I was sitting down trying to write my next story, but... there's storytelling involved here, like,
mm-hmm.
And podcast. You'll see that later on as well. That we there's kind of a situation brief. Like, this is where we are. What's been going on? This is the fight that we're fighting. That's why I really like that. Like, you could. It's format. You know, it's mm-hmm. how you're consuming the story. You came up with the scenario. You told everyone what the scenario was, and then the story played out. And it's. It's not like better or worse than writing it out and figuring it online or as a physical book. It's just different. It's just a different way of telling the story.
And participate. So, what got me started and what kept me going, it's fantasy escapism, which, you know, most of the species likes to do to escape from the hard to move out. It's team sports. It's physical fitness. It's fitting in with people that I have similar social, similar interest in. All at the same time. I used to play D&D all the time, some other role playing games. I could do that and without thing find you.
Carl.
And Amptor has so much more to just that team. We have fighting tournaments. We have, like today, fighting that goes along with the story. Some days it's just individual practice fighting. Some groups have dart contests. You make this stuff and get awards. There's awards for fighting. Some groups even have like brewing and cooking contests to make period accurate stuff, and you get awards for that as well. There's an internal award system for being, for helping up, but a lot of games give awards for being a good fighter or a good role player. We also give awards for teaching others, helping the community, things like that as well. And so you could even, you could have no fighting skill whatsoever, still come participate and be a full participant.
I'm getting to the age where all the other kids in my age don't want to, like, pretend with me, and they think I'm a nerd if I do it. And I, so younger kids are scared of me, so put that together, I have no one to play with.
It's just a lot of people would like to pretend.
Yeah, and so you love if I, pretend. When I come here, nobody's, like, criticizing me for doing it. And that's fun, and no one's scared to laugh at me.
You'd be surprised. Talk to the Avgarders all across this country, huh? I guess I've had the same story at her age, right?
No, his, does each chapter or part have its own rules, or just kind of develop its own culture as far as we are including magic or you know, the scenarios that we set up?
So the rule book is standardized across the whole of Avgard. Uh-huh. So there can be slight changes or local rules. Those are usually more for safety purposes. The rulebook itself is standardized. Those do get updated throughout time. Each individual kingdom has a monarch of the kingdoms. They then come together to propose rules. It gets voted on to potentially update these, oftentimes for safety, sometimes for balance, game mechanics, things like that. So the rule set itself is standardized for Antgard. There are other LARPs too. So this LARP is fairly, again, safety-minded. We like to liken it to speed tag. It's really about just kind of making some light content. With LARP, you can go anywhere from lightest touch or even spoken word, where you're just acting out, but you're not actually making contact, all the way up to, you know, nearly live steel and reenactments, things like that.
Like FCA. So, they have to wear real steel all the time because they use metal and bamboo weapons and whack on each other.
So there's a LARP out there
itself, for had the weapons.
There's a LARP out there for everybody. This one I like. I'm, you know, I turned 40 this year. I want to keep my knees as long as possible. So I don't know about getting out there and grappling people, bashing people. But I like to come out here and after a long week of work, swing some swords, get some stress out, and also have an outlet for creativity and everything else.
But the roughness level is somewhat variable, right? So today, I watched the kid-friendly.
Yep.
I watched a kid-friendly lot. There were kids here and they were playing along.
Yeah, but we were from here.
For example, next week you have a tournament. Fighters from all across the region are going to be good. You're probably going to see a higher level of skill in the combat and more of two grown men going at each other, trying to win in a fight for potential awards, and it's different than just having casual fun on the field. For a long time, for example, Amtrak didn't allow people under 14 to hit you. And then they decided that each local champion, that's the person that's responsible for safety, people to make that decision.
The Monarch, what is?
Oh, Monarch there?
It's, the Monarch is the authority.
Oh. But champions need to be responsible for all safety.
They are, but the Monarch's
okay.
My
point is that, so some parks, they go so hard in their fighting that having kids around the best option being. And some parks are majority kids. I've seen that a couple of times. Like you said, the rules are the same basically everywhere. How safety and the social aspect was different.
It's really up to the what they want to see out of it. That's also true of the role play itself. So some parks are all about the physical combat and don't actually have the real role play at all. Other parts, we do once a month our quest made to actually promote the storyline and work towards it. You can have other parts that might do role play every single time they come out. It's really up to the park themselves as to where they want to go with it. The rules give you a baseline. This is what you need to be safe. Particularly when you involve, again, people you're really 14, it's really up to kind of the maturity of the kids and how comfortable both the leadership of the court as well as the parents feel about it. But you can absolutely foster a culture of inclusion and, you know, make it such that you can have it safe and and include kids of all ages to really participate in and get them enjoying the fighting and all the other aspects of it.
You get full plans. You know, parts where you're the one smart, they look at you weird. Parts where with my role playing, they look at you weird, and everything in between.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Or, I'll just jump in the second time, I think, case.
I mean, you can do it, yeah.
I also like the pet. This easily, I'm really. If someone's coming out with a weapon, I don't have it, but that's not. They do like an effort.
Well, I appreciate the chat, and where would people go if they want to participate in their local area?
So there is, if you search ampguard.com, so A-M-T, M as in Mary, T as in Tom, guard, G-A-R-D, and then Atlas, A-T-L-K-S, there is a map that they have that will show you where all the parks are. Some of the parks may get debunked on there. At a certain time, they get taken off of there, but you can look. It shows literally all over the world because you're mostly in the U.S. There's some in Canada, some elsewhere, but you can zoom into your local area, see what the closest park is, and then typically that they will have contact information for whoever's leading the park, so you can reach out, find out more information about that park there, where they play, all that kind of stuff. On the Atlas, it'll also tell you like where the physical location of the park is, when they play, what times they play, all of that kind of stuff. And again, should have information on the actual officers to speak to.
Ampguard.com you like to download the video book and things like that. There it's at the Ampguard Atlas to get the location information about local groups, and Ampguard Wiki, there's a whole wiki setup. Gives even more detailed information about the games of play, how to make weapons, things like that. There is a forum that G-Samurai, but it's barely used, but he wants
that's the thing.
You can still log on, you know. But my point is, so you can still look at the old articles if you want to look on Ampguard's history as well.
Okay. One thing to point out, all of this is free, the rules, everything.
Oh, yeah.
It is free. If people are curious about trying it, most parks are going to have a set of loaner gear so that first-time players can show up with nothing but themselves and they can grab a weapon and go things to everyone else. You don't need to feel like you have to have a certain amount of gear before you can come play.
Or even like, so people viewing the pod on YouTube, you can see their garb, you can see my daughter dressed up. But this gentleman participated, he's not wearing, like, period gear. And there were other people who did participate today who were just dressed in modern clothes.
That's feasible.
While technically you are supposed to be a guy to participate, again, it's up to, like, for example, I have to be dressed like this because of my job. I'm on call right now, but if they call me and says, I can't go arrest somebody or something on site wearing this.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to be like, well, you can't participate because you've got a job.
Rules of play, you're supposed to be there, or you have to play a peasant. That's really up to the local park discretion.
Okay.
So, obviously, hard part, we try to include as many people as possible, so we usually give a little more leniency to it. I haven't been to a park that they forbade people from playing because they are wearing a
three or whatever. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've seen three parks that were like, no, can't go get done. So I've been to hundreds of parks in my life. So three of them said no. Everybody else is like, sure. It's a much safe foot game. It's supposed to be a accepting game. It's very friendly. Some of the other LARP games, they're out there have a community where, you know, you got to do it just right or you don't fit in.
Cool, sir.
Yeah, I understand.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
You.
For the interest.
You can talk.
Transition.
Yeah,
stage right. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
And hope to see you out.
Yeah, I hope the audio turns out. We'll see you guys now.
Sure.
All right.
If it doesn't, we can try to do something more formal.
So now I'm going to provide you the video clips of the rules, the scenario setup, and the battle action for two rounds of play. And now, this guy, Jax, who was part of the interview you just heard, wrote these two scenarios, which are pretty imaginative, and I think they really engage the kids. I'm not going to include the full rules explanation, neither the full battles, but just enough to give you an idea of the experience of being there and seeing what it's like. Now, I will share these clips now. They'll last about half an hour. That'll wrap up the podcast for today. I'm not going to come back on. If you would like to find out more about LARPing with AmptGuard, just follow the links in the show notes. And you can go to AmptGuard.com. That's AmptGuard.com to read about the worldwide network of parks and kingdoms. Or you can go to Mune and Mist specifically, again, following these links. You can also reach out to muneandmist@gmail.com. That's muninnmyst@gmail.com for more information about how they run their chapter. And one final thing, two final things. Remember that this is provided by or supported by my books, The Nightshade Unicorn Saga, which you can find on Amazon or on my own website, grandhill.media. Also, I need to remind you that the ebook is currently discounted until the end of the year, and you can get an additional 25% off of anything on my direct sales website, grandhill.media, which is a little ugly, but it works, and there's no middleman there. Just use code ENDOFYEAR to get a 25% discount off of your entire purchase. So you can also get it signed. You just put that in the notes for your order. And yeah. So then one more. If you enjoy the show, if you enjoy the podcast, be sure to subscribe and tell your friends, because it helps more people find out about the show so they can enjoy it too. Now, please enjoy the storytelling craft from Jax that went into setting up the scenarios, and enjoy this beautiful day in June that we had. To go out there. There was sunshine, but we had the shade of trees. It was really a very nice day. A little on the warm side, but it was a very nice day. One final editing note. During the second battle scene play that you get to see here, I have had to replace the audio during a section because there was background music and YouTube was picking up on copyrighted content. So, you know, we understand there are copyright laws and to avoid trouble, I've had to replace that audio in that section. And since I'm releasing this on December 26th, Merry Christmas yesterday, Happy New Year, and I'll see you next time on the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast.
Similar to hand-on weapon, there is also a rule that's called foot on ground. So if your foot is on the ground, you get hit below the ankle. This is considered hitting the ground. So this doesn't, you won't take a wound by getting hit here. If you get hit above the ankle, though, this is leg, and now your leg is wounded. If it's right on the ankle, if it's coming over the ankle at all, then it would be onto your... sound. So you have to hit that, you have to hear that pop for it to count. If they slash and it doesn't actually, it just kind of flicks through and doesn't actually stop or deflect, it does not count as a hit. Similarly, if you go to swing and then it just brushes through, same thing.
This is the curse of the ivory dagger. So recently, a month ago, you might have remembered if you were here before, so the Kingdom of Krail came into Munin.
Ooh.
And yeah, Krail, we don't like them. We wound up deposing the king and taking care of that, and peace was back in Munin again. But then last week, Gaius and a fellow traveler from out of town came into a interesting situation in the town of Bugs Crossing. Where some deserters from the Krail militia had looted one of the Krail storehouses and taken some gold and other stuff. But they didn't know that they had actually taken some cursed artifacts that wound up setting everybody on fire when it was dropped and handled. So so Gaius and Hayabusa wound up taking care of that situation, but the people from Crail told them that another bit larger group of deserters led by I don't remember what his name, led by his name was Shank, Lieutenant Shank, had also gone into Meenan with a larger cache of gold and an unknown number of possibly cursed artifacts. And they looked for him but could not find him. Now, you are all in the main tavern in Meenan. It's the big tavern. Everybody's there having a nice time. But then suddenly bursts in the door a man, frenzied, looking panicked. You know, somebody coming to a tavern asks for help. You know, everybody says, oh, here we go again.
Here we go again.
Like in Captain Underpants. But unlike in Captain Underpants, this man looks like he is terrified for his own life. And he comes in, he looks for you, and he says, somebody, please, help me. My village is in trouble. Anybody?
Ah.
And we are now role-playing here.
Oh.
What's the problem?
What's the world guy?
Yeah. How many people do we need to send this time?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Okay, three armies it is.
Okay,
my village of Elms Grove.
Oh.
Elm Grove. We're under attack. So some strange men wearing black came in just a few days ago, and they took up in the tavern. But then something horrible happened. There was screaming and shouting and fighting and monsters. And I just barely got out of there with my wife. I didn't get a good look at them. I just saw something large and white, and it grabbed somebody and hurled them to the ground. And they were taking people out of their homes.
I take notes.
Yes, I barely got out of there. I don't really know what's going on, but whatever's going on, these are my family, these are my friends. Somebody, will anybody please help me?
I don't want to tell you bad news, but they're probably all dead by now.
We have to go look.
We can't. Why not?
No. I'm going anyways.
All right.
So dark.
So you all follow this man. His name is Kennick.
Kennick.
All right.
Okay, time for us to go.
So we follow. So it's half a day's walk to the town of Elm Grove.
I already know where it is.
So coming into Elm Grove, you see... it's, you know, just a, let me get my notes. It is a, you know, a small village, a couple dozen houses, an inn, some craftspeople's shops. But then, you notice there's no people around.
Spooky.
Yeah, there's nobody around. It's quiet and still.
My fairy stands.
All right, but as you come in, you see, you notice, by one of the buildings, you see a body. It doesn't look like a dead body, but they're a person lying on the ground, but there's some sort of strange vines around them. One of you...
Sir, you okay? By the valor of the knights, are you okay?
There's no response.
He's dead.
You go up and poke them. You go up and poke them, but the vines, they're strange. They're white. They look like they're made of bone, but they're coming up out of the ground, just like entwining the person and holding them. You go up and check them, but thank goodness they are alive, but they're not responding. They're unconscious. Yes, if you try to heal them, it doesn't work. There's some sort of strange curse going on here.
I'm
going to
try breaking the bones.
They don't break.
Okay, they're unbreakable bones.
I'm going to see if they have beer.
Do we know about all the stuff that previously happened?
I assume that Gaius has told us.
Yeah, we had half a day. I explained on the way.
Yeah. He explains on the way what happened.
The man in vines, one of those in the black cloak?
No, it just looks like a villager. But yeah, you do recognize when the man mentioned people in black cloaks, you sounded that does sound like the deserters from Crail. It must be.
I head into the tavern. Take a moment.
Okay, so you go over to the tavern.
Me too.
And while you head over there, you actually see more of these people on the ground. They actually get more. You see more of them as you get closer to the tavern.
Them.
Still same, there's this strange, unearthly vine, like, vines, but they're hard and brittle like bone, that is holding them to the ground, and you can't wake them, but they seem to still be alive. It's as if
there's life... By chance, have you angered the undead?
He didn't do anything.
I followed you all here,
I'm talking to the guy.
Uh, He said, I don't know. What, all I know is that these new people came into town with black cloaks. It looked like they were from Krail or something. And they were shouting and cheering like they and talking about how rich they were. Well, and then they got a room in the inn, and then things just went south from there. So
well, the inn?
I'm going to check out the inn.
Okay, so...
No, I tried.
So,
I tried multiple times.
So you go to the tavern and you see more of these people around the tavern. But as you go in, the door is actually, you try to open the door, but there's actually some sort of strange magical barrier there.
I break the door.
Your sword just bounces off. The window. There's,
window.
Same barrier around the windows. It's a sickly white magical barrier.
Can I see through it?
You cannot see through it.
I'd like to knock on the door.
We have a sneaky person here. Can he pick the door?
So the door is, like, you can't tell if it's locked or not, but there's actually a wall around it. It's a magical boundary around it.
If there's anybody in there.
No response.
The knights of me are here.
You can try to, but if you try to, it's it blocks you.
I look for tracks.
So you don't see.
I just took out.
You see a bunch of tracks around. So regular human footprints and larger stranger footprints.
I follow those.
Okay, so you see a track, and then you also notice in the air it looks like a river of magical energy flowing through the air. And then Kennick sees that, and he sees that it's going east, and he goes pale. He says, "Oh no, that's going towards the magical grove, you know, or Elm's Grove, the magical grove. Have you not heard of it?" But
no.
So
I thought you just had a lot of elves.
Yeah, but they're in a grove.
Okay. Magical.
Yes. Yeah. No, the druids
skip that part.
Druids come from all over to replenish their magic here. If whatever's happening, I think that I saw some. There were monsters, but also there
forest.
Were men walking around. Yes, so let's go to the forest.
I'll
it
go
looks
first.
Like whatever is keeping this tavern locked down is happening in the forest.
I'm gonna go first.
Let's go to the forest.
I can fight off three of them. Maybe.
All right. So now we're at the named grove for an Elm's Grove, the magical grove. This is where you're gonna come in. So you're in the grove, and from where you stand, at the bases of several trees. You see strange shrines of sticks tied into unsettling shapes adorned with gold and jewels. You can tell now I'm reading what I wrote. Sprouting from the ground and twining around them are those same strange, sickly white vines. Brittle and hard like bone. You see some... Yes, that's gonna be part of it. That is gonna be your job, is to destroy them. But you see movement at the far end of the grove. Lumbering out from the trees opposite you see hulking creatures of bone, white and gray.
Things like that.
They're not skeletons. They look more like clusters of human and animal bones held together by those same vine-like tendrils. These ones animated by some vile force. So now, here we are at our first battle game, Battle in the Grove. So we're going to have one team, the Munin Adventurers, and the other team, the Bone Golems. And some environmental hazards of there are going to be some bone imps hiding in the trees hurling daggers at people. So those are going to be the younger kids. So that'll be Benny and Todd. They're monsters.
We're gonna
figure out where they are on the teams. So what? It's going to be two teams, and we're going to figure that out in a minute. I'll definitely need some help sorting the teams out. Munin versus the Golem. So, yes. Munin starts over there. Golem starts over there. There are five shrines throughout the woods. There are cone, like orange cone with a little yellow cone on top of it. One, two, three.
Oh, that one I didn't put an orange cone on there. Four.
Hold on. Yeah.
So, six.
should just request it.
Yes, I will tell you in a minute. So the rules are, so this is going to be a militia game. We're not doing classes to start with, just because there are a lot of new players, and we're just going to get into the combat of it without worrying about magic abilities and classes. So it's militia, so you can use throwing items. Yes, you can use the spear if you want to, or the javelin. Let's see. We'll explain the rules in a second. Hakes, can I get your... it'll be Munin versus the monsters. It'll be... the monsters are a little powerful. They've got the bone golems. They have 2 points of natural armor. What that means is, regardless of the armor that you're wearing, you've got 2 points on each arm, 2 points on each leg, and 2 points on your torso. So that means if you get hit once, you say, point, one left. And if you hit again, say point zero left. And if you hit again, then you say dead.
And then you go back to your
sport. Yeah, you go back to your sport.
Or arm or leg.
Second.
I got the whole
question. Or unless you do bubble, it's easier.
What?
So bubble is like, if I get here, one bubble's off, or if I get here, my second bubble's off.
Yeah. It's entirely there. Yeah, let's do sectional.
Sectional is more powerful, it's more to keep track of.
Let's just do bubble armor then. Okay. One, I'm at one. I'm at zero. I'm dead. So right. Bubble armor.
2 points.
2 points bubble armor. Let's see. Let me look at my thing of actual things. So I said 20 minutes. We'll get teams in a second. So the golems, 2 points natural bubble armor. They're immune to command, immune to death. That doesn't matter since we're not doing classes. They're strong. All melee is armor breaking and shield crushing.
Ooh. People are wearing armor. If you get hit in the armor, if you have less than 3 points, which is probably going to be everybody because he's the only one that has more typically, it goes from any points left down to zero. So it immediately goes away. For shield crushing, if anybody that has a shield, you get hit 3 times in the shield. One time, 2 times, the third time, the shield is now broken. So now gets hit in that shield again, it would go through to his arm or whatever. So back.
All right. And they also get. Yes.
So, if you want, we can have them as the leaders of each team.
We're not doing leaders. Or you guys can choose your own leaders. And they also have.
How old are you?
They also have terror twice per refresh. I think we'll have one refresh for the game. Do you think that makes sense? Because I think it's a little much once per life.
How long have you been?
Yeah, so it's death makes thee terrified, death makes thee terrified, death makes thee terrified. Or I'll say, Maislin, death makes thee terrified, death makes thee terrified, death makes thee terrified. And then she has to stay 50 feet away from me for 30 seconds. So that is good for if you're defending a spot. So in terms of, we've got bone imps in the tree. So we've got this little roped off section over here. You can go through it, no battles in there, please. These are the treetops where the bone imps are going to be. So... Ty and Benny. Yeah, if we can just grab that whole thing. So they are going to be in here chucking balls at you. These are going to be just regular projectiles. So if it hits you on the arm, that's a wound. If it hits you on the torso, you're dead. And they cannot be targeted. They cannot be damaged. They cannot be killed. So they're little kids. Stay away from them.
What is Neo in
it? You can walk through there. Just don't get into a battle. Yes, they can hit you if you're in there.
Can projectiles go through it?
Huh?
Can projectiles go through the
area? Yes, the area is just like, that's the treetops that they're in. So this is not a physical area.
I wasn't sure if you wanted people throwing through it.
What side are they on?
Yeah, they're on the golem side. They're trying to kill the Munin people. All right, so 5 shrines, 20 minutes. Let's see, don't attack the children. Other than teams, are there any major rules that I'm missing?
What's the respawn?
Oh, respawn count. Okay, so for destroying one of these, you have to count to is a 15 count. With an open hand, you can't be holding a weapon. Destroying one, destroying two, destroying three, up to 15. And once it's destroyed, it stays destroyed, and you just take this and flip it off to the side.
If healed, somebody must start a new.
Yes, if killed, someone must start anew. Death count is 20, so that means 20 on death, you start counting to 20, and you respawn back at your spawn.
What's that little, like, rag hanging in
the
tree?
That is a gross rag in a tree. It is not pertinent to us.
It's not ours.
It is not ours.
Why is it up there then?
That is a question for the ages. All right, so now let's do teens. I think since we'll do maybe two bombs every three minutes, because you've got the environmental hazards there too, and they're a little stronger. So who definitely wants to be a golem? Oh yeah, golems on this side over here. Who definitely wants to be a hero? Heroes on this side.
Reeves are heroes. Okay, Reeves are heroes.
I saw it first in the
We're
bow.
The best heroes.
Right. Alright, so I will be a hero. Alright, guys are here. So I think we'll need a couple other people. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Alright, Roker's coming.
Wait, everyone on this side has to have a shield.
Oh, no. There's
a shield on this.
Seven.
Oh,
there's an apple in here.
Apple.
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 Good job. All right, let's. Was thus breaking the evil artifact's hold on the wood. So you make your way back to the tavern, and you see that cursed aura of white light has disappeared from around the doors and the windows.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Try to teleport again.
Are you trying to teleport? You try to teleport, and you feel intense pain, and cannot, and it doesn't work. Stop trying to break my game. You knock on the door. Somebody says, "Who is it?" Not really. You knock on the door. Nobody answers. You open the door and are immediately pushed back by gale force wind from inside. And so you look inside, and it is barely recognizable as a tavern. When you look inside, there are shards of shattered furniture, shattered glass, shattered furniture all over the place. There are. The main thing that you see is in the middle of this large room is a giant swirling vortex of magical energy, about 20 feet wide.
A vortex.
A vortex, yes indeed. And now in this vortex, it's hard to see, but you can make out what looks like on a simple table in the middle is it looks like some sort of knife, a dagger. That must be the cursed artifact that is causing all this trouble. Yeah, well, you make your way slowly into the room and immediately see movement on the other side, on the far end of the tavern. You see big writhing knots of that same sickly white vine-like thing in the back, covering piles of bones, human bones, animal bones, furniture, all kinds of nonsense. And you see the more bone golems rising up out of it.
Bone golems, double!
Yes. Yeah, and you see them and you point them out. Thank you. And then you see around that maelstrom, you see three columns of bone swirling and sizzling with magic themselves. And you see tendrils of magic going from them into the main vortex. You can really tell that these are what are powering the vortex around the cursed object. So you figure if you can destroy those, then you'll get rid of the maelstrom and you can go and finally destroy the ivory dagger that is bringing the curse to this town. But your task is not going to be easy because the golems are coming towards you. So, this game is the Infested Tavern. So, Munin is going to start at one end and the golems are going to start at the other end. In the middle, you can see we've got a roped-off area. That is the maelstrom. You may not enter if you are pushed into there. Well, we're not using any push spells, but it doesn't matter. If you enter it, you will die. You cannot teleport through it. I'm looking at you, worker.
We're not playing class.
Nobody we're not playing classes, class. But I know he's going to ask.
I already asked.
And so you cannot throw projectiles through it. So if you throw a projectile through it and hit somebody, it does not count. What's up?
What if we go into the vortex?
If you throw it into the vortex, it is consumed. It disappears.
What if we...
Well, if you're dead, you can go pick it up.
What if we throw it on accident?
What if we purposely kill someone and that person doesn't get it?
No, then you can't, no, that's...
But is there any way to get to that?
You have to destroy the three columns, three magical bone columns around it.
How do I do that?
How do you do that, you ask? So, they are contested columns, so you need to come up, and it is a, similar to the last game, it is a 15-second count. A 15-count, destroying one, destroying two, destroying three. And then the golems can then rebuild them afterwards. Building one, building two, building three, up to 15. Yes. The columns are these guys around here. So if everybody can come over here. There's one of the bone columns. Right now it is on the golem side. It is red. So if Munin captures it, they'll switch it over to be blue. Okay, and if it gets captured again, it switches back over to red.
How?
By you do it.
But, then how do you destroy that?
You destroy it by saying destroying one, destroying two, destroying three, etc. So, we are in this.
Myself at three, and then I say etc.
Etc, yes. No, we go to 15. 15, 15, 15. Thank you.
Swift destroying 15.
Then you switch it.
There you go.
Yep.
I'm drunk at the gate.
Now we can tell.
Yeah. So if they all get to be blue, then the magical barrier will fall, and somebody can go in and destroy the dagger. Okay. Yes, you should go in. Someone can destroy the dagger once the magical. I will call hold, and the magical barrier falls, and someone goes and destroys the dagger.
But
You're already in there. Don't worry about it. Yes, you can go get your weapon. I don't have a weapon. Alright, so anybody who wants, so do all the little ones want to be playing? So we can also have the option to have the little ones again be turrets in the middle throwing stuff out, but that's up to you. Do you want to go around with a sword? Well, I think you have to leave.
Yeah.
Get a battle cry. Munin, are you ready?
Yeah!
Monsters, are you ready?
Yeah!
3, 2, 1, lay on!
Yeah!
Right side destroyed. Oh, they take out points.
Wrong setting. I know.
Come here!